Sunday the 19th of July 2015, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Healthy Church. Sermon title, Outward Focused. Bible reading, Acts chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Talk by Roger Whipp.
The reading is taken from Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 12. It's on page 771 of the Pew Bibles. The apostles perform many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to the number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing them sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Amen.
Well, good morning. I don't know if you really need a sermon, it's going so well, isn't it? But I do think the Spirit is here, and I don't want to spoil that, but a lot of things I'm going to be saying, I'm sure, link in with Joy's prayers and other things that we've heard this morning. A woman and a man are involved in a car accident. It's a bad one. And I think you'll see when Mark moves the PowerPoint on. Okay. Both of their cars are demolished, but amazingly, neither of them are hurt. After they call out the cars, the woman says, "Oh, so you're a man. That's interesting. I'm a woman. Well, just look at our cars. There's nothing left, but fortunately, we're unhurt. This must be a sign from God that we should meet and be friends and live together in peace for the rest of our days." And the man replies, "I agree completely. This must be a sign from God." The woman continued, "And look at this, here's another miracle. My car is completely demolished, but the bottle of wine didn't break. Surely God wants us to drink this wine and celebrate our good fortune." She then hands the bottle to the man. The man nods, and in agreement, he opens it up and drinks half the bottle and then hands it back to the woman, which he'll do in a moment. The woman takes the bottle, immediately puts the cap back on it, and hands it back to the man. And the man asks, "Aren't you going to have any?" And she replies, "Nah, I think I'll just wait for the police." Signs and wonders. You know, some signs are obvious. For instance, many of you may have noticed that I've lost some weight. In fact, nearly 6 stone. Of course, if you're new to the church, it's probably less obvious. However, some signs can be misleading or confusing. And let's have a look at some. And for the sake of the recording for the iPad on the church, I'm going to mention these. Please try to walk without walking. Great, isn't it? Or one way with arrows pointing in both directions. Isn't they amazing, isn't it? I like this one. Use toilet rolls in good condition, low, low prices. No pets allowed. And then underneath, all pets must be on a leash. And how about that? About 30 road signs on one pole. Crazy, isn't it? I can't see one there, no preaching, so that's good. And I love this one. Public toilets, Hervey Bay City Council, please don't dump in toilets. And then this one, St. Chad's Chapel Heath. Do you know what hell is? Come and hear our preacher. Sunday the 19th of June, 10:45, Roger Whipp. In fact, there's some element of truth in that one, eh? Who knows? Since this remarkable story of Peter and the disciples performing many miraculous signs and wonders nearly 2,000 years ago, there's been much confusion, division, and false teaching in God's church as to the issue that does God still heal today? And should we be looking for signs and wonders in the church? I shall never forget about 15 years ago, when I think it was on my second mission trip to the USA, after a very long journey from the UK due to a long flight delay and hold up at Chicago, Maggie and I arrived in East Tennessee at 8:30 p.m. and immediately we arrived, the pastor of Hopwood Memorial Church phoned to confirm my preaching agenda for the following morning. I then found out, to my surprise, that I'd be speaking at both the 8:30 a.m. I thought 9 o'clock was early enough in this church, but there you go, and the 11 a.m. service. As it was Pentecost, he also requested some teaching on the Holy Spirit as well as me sharing my testimony. Now, although I was extremely tired, I never slept much that night, mainly due to the fact that we were staying very close to a railway crossing, and in that part of the States they don't have gates on their crossings. The train just sounds its hooter as it arrives near the level crossing, so I didn't really get much sleep. However, Maggie can remember it, she's laughing. However, in the morning, God gave me his strength. We do things in God's strength, not our own. Another surprise was that the Hopwood Church is situated in the grounds of Mulligan Theological College, one of the biggest theological colleges in Tennessee. And unknown to me that many of the students and the professors attending would be at that church, and many of the professors teach that miracles and signs and wonders no longer happen. Hasn't God got a sense of humour? Yet he sent me there to share my testimony, which can only be called a miracle. After all, bringing Maggie back from the dead, I think most people would say, was quite spectacular and a sign and a wonder. Remember that first slide of the car scene of the accident? That, in fact, was Maggie's car, the beige car. That was the scene of her accident. Now, apart from a few red-faced, wriggling professors sitting in the front row, all ill-suited and booted, who believed and taught that miracles and signs and wonders ended with the original apostles, we were well-received. And we was overwhelmed, after both services, with Christians who wanted to know and receive more of God's love and power. For many, it was a new revelation that there was still power in the name of Jesus. Some asked the question, had they been falsely taught that such things no longer happen? For those who still were uncertain, I put these points to them. And I think that we too need to consider these things. One, why bother to pray if you don't think there's still power in the name of Jesus today and he no longer heals? My Bible tells me in Hebrews 13 verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. I also quoted Luke 10 to them, which says this: the Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now go, and remember that I am sending you out as lambs amongst wolves. Don't take any money with you, nor a travelling bag, nor an extra pair of sandals. And don't stop to greet anyone on the road. Is that not apparent? That Jesus wanted to share his ministry with as many disciples who appeared to help him. There's also a great sense of urgency. Don't stop and gossip on the way. Why did he send them out? In verse 9 it tells us to heal the sick. And also to tell them that the kingdom of God is near to you. He then went on to tell the disciples, anyone who accepts your message is also accepting me. And anyone who rejects you is rejecting me. And anyone who rejects me is rejecting God who sent me. When the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we used your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I was giving you authority over all the powers of the enemy, and you can walk amongst snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you, but rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Are you getting the picture? If you consider yourself to be a disciple of Christ, get your hands dirty. Be bold and get out into the community, as well as talking to our friends and family. Now, Jesus really is good news, especially when we open ourselves up to receive his physical, spiritual and emotional healing. And yet many Christians seem embarrassed to even admit that they go to church, yet alone to mention that they can offer a solution to many problems faced by living in this modern world. Russia's President Gorbachev, in discussing the new Soviet policy of Perestroika and its assuring changes, was quoted in Newsweek as saying this, Jesus Christ alone knew answers to all the questions and knew how to feed 20,000 Jews with 5 loaves of bread. We don't possess that skill. We have no ready prescription to solve all our problems quickly. Now you may think that Gorbachev got the numbers wrong. But no, he was actually a Christian. His wife had converted him just before that. And he knew that the 5,000 only referred to the men present, not including the women and the children. I'm sure you, like many people, including me, still have questions and doubts. Like, why does God seem to heal some and not others? I remember sharing my testimony many years ago at a church in Surrey, and always saying the questions afterwards, and one guy said to me, why did God bring your wife back from the dead and mine has just died of cancer? Only weeks ago, at our monthly men's breakfast, I laid hands on a man to heal his back pain, only to be told the following day by his wife that in fact it got worse. I don't know why. But then again, I don't do the healing. I have no power whatsoever. It's only by God's grace and mercy that healing takes place. Now I know some people may not believe this, but some people do find me a bit difficult at times, and I guess perhaps I should have the name of Marmite. You either like me or you hate me. Many years ago, in a team member of the church plant that Maggie and I served in a different church said to me, the trouble with you, Roger, is that you're too much like Peter. And I guess it was meant to be a derogatory remark. However, how I wish that was true. No, I have no wish to be crucified upside down as Peter was by the Romans. But how I wish I had his healing presence and power through Jesus. You know, in our reading, how many of the large crowd that gathered were healed as Peter's shadow fell on them? Some? A few? No, all. All of them were healed. A number of people, including some church members, commented on my weight loss, said, oh, you're just a shadow of your former self. You may not recognise me, that's me on there. Now, it's a common saying, isn't it? You're just a shadow of your former self. Although I accepted, and it's a great compliment and an encouragement to me, the Oxford Dictionary definition of this statement is this: to not have the strength, influence, etc. that you used to have. I.e., when his career ended, he became a shadow of his former self. I think you and I need to pray that we are no longer a shadow of our former self. Now, I'm not asking the Lord to make me fat again, right? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying there. But all of us should have more strength, more influence to change the community in which we live. Could you imagine what would happen in Chapel Heath and beyond if we allow God to use us, as he did with Peter, and all those people that we laid hands on or who fell under our shadow were healed? You know, we would have to completely rethink our building project to accommodate all those who had experienced being under the shadow of God's wing. Another common saying is, be careful what you ask for. Do we really want to be like that Acts church that's mentioned in our reading? After all, thousands were added to their church daily. I tell you, I do. However, I wouldn't want to be on the coffee voter, I must admit. You know, sadly, too many Christians, when it comes to signs and wonders and evangelism, are frightened of their own shadow. We need to climb out of our comfort zones. One of Satan's biggest weapons is fear. I couldn't possibly do that. What would people think of me? Or perhaps, I've heard this one. My faith is a personal thing. I don't want to or need to share it with others. It's between me and God. I guess we are no different to those in our reading. Remember the first verses of today's reading. It said this: the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Solomon's colonnade was an important place in the Jewish temple, the very place that Jesus himself had on numerous occasions healed people. And bear in mind that this event was happening soon after Jesus had been savagely murdered. We're told that even though they respected the disciples, many of the crowd were bottling it. You know, they considered it far too dangerous to even be near where both the power and the persecution of Jesus took place. I have a number of friends. There may even be some people here in the church who respect disciples of Christ, those who place their trust in him, and yet they're frightened to come into his very presence by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even to get someone to come to church would be a result. Now, my Life Application Bible notes make these challenging statements around this passage. It says this: what makes Christianity attractive? It's easy to be drawn to a church because of programs, good speakers. I think we have got some here somewhere. But, the size, beautiful facilities, worship or fellowship. I mean, these things in themselves are good, but it then points out that the early church of Acts was attracted by God's power and miracles. The sincerity, generosity, honesty and the unity of the members and the character of the leadership. It then asks this question: have our standards dropped? You know, God wants to add to his church, but not just programs or congregations. If we really want to be a successful church in God's eyes, to see the impossible become possible, we need less of us and more of him. You know, as we studied a few years ago, If you want to walk on water, you need to get out of the boat. And I think we all enjoyed that study. But I asked myself this morning as I read through my notes again, have you actually allowed that teaching to affect us, to change us, to move us on? At the time, we thought it was brilliant. Have we seen any results? You know, a church and an individual that quenches the flames of the Holy Spirit will never be more than a social club. Once upon a time, in the depths of the sea, a sad squid was lying on the seabed, feeling very sorry for himself and poorly. All of a sudden, the last shadow appeared above him, and looking up, he saw the shark. "Hello, Squiddy," said the shark. "You don't look too good. What's the matter?" "Oh, it's Sunday, and I want to go to church, but it's a long journey, and I don't feel very well today. Everything seems just too much of an effort." "No problem," said the shark. "I will lay on the seabed, and you can climb onto my back, and we'll be able to get you to church on time." The shark landed next to the squid on the seabed, and the squid climbed onto his back and hung on with his tentacles as the shark went off at frightening speed for the squid. After half an hour, the shark slowed down and stopped. And all of a sudden, everything went black above them, and the shark and the squid looked up frighteningly above them, casting a great black shadow was a huge killer whale. "Hello, Sharky, I've been looking for you. Have you got anything for me?" said the killer whale threateningly. "Oh yes," said the shark. "Have a look at my back. It's a sick squid I owe you." That's even worse than one of Martin's jokes, isn't it? Okay, let's for a moment continue to take a more serious look at the implication of shadows. You know, we've already looked at the negativity of being a former shadow of yourself and being afraid of your own shadow. Now let's focus on the positive aspects of shadows. To shadow somebody means to follow them and to watch them closely and often secretly, i.e., you know, he was shadowed for a week by the anti-terrorist squad. Or to shadow someone also means to be with somebody who's doing a particular job so you can learn about it. I.e., you know, it's often helpful for learners to shadow managers in industry. And I guess many people would be apprehensive of joining the police, especially the terrorist squad. But I want to encourage you to shadow Jesus. To follow and to watch him closely, to learn from his teaching and his example. In the same way as people in employment shadow managers or leaders learn just to learn the ropes, to eventually step into their shoes. Do you realise that this is exactly what Jesus requires of you and me? Not only to step into his shoes, but also to be his hands and his mouth, his heart and his soul of the community. Me and my shadow, strolling down the avenue. Me and my shadow, not a soul to tell our troubles to. And when it's 12 o'clock, we climb the stair. We never knock, for nobody's there. Just me and my shadow, all alone and feeling blue. The good news, the gospel, is that Jesus, however, is the perfect shadow. He never leaves us. He's always there to tell our troubles too. The Bible tells us in Revelation that he stands at the door and he knocks. Whoever opens that door, he will enter in and dwell with them. My prayer for you and for me is that we would not only be a true shadow, a true reflection of Jesus, but we'd also live under the shadow and shelter of his wing. I want to close with one final video. Not only does it keep in with the theme of shadows, but think about the words, okay? The song Footprints in the Sand by Leona Lewis is based on the Christian poem that reminds us that although we don't always see him or think that he is there, Jesus is always there with us through thick and thin. Jesus always promises he will be there. Let's just finish with a prayer. And can I encourage you to stand, if you're able, just to hold out your palms as if you're about to receive a gift. Father God, as we come before your throne of grace and mercy, we give you thanks for your gift of Jesus. And we thank you there is still power in his name today. Forgive us when we have doubted your ability or your willingness to heal. We have not truly grasped the fact that once we invite Jesus into our lives, his shadow is always there. Although we might distance ourselves from him, his shadow will never leave or abandon us. We as a church stand here, all of us in need of a special touch from you. By the power of your Holy Spirit, pour out your healing balm. May the shadow of Jesus be cast on us now, bringing us spiritual, physical, and emotional healing. Help us to step out of our shadows, to be bold and expectant that you will move in power in this church and in our lives. And that just as you used Peter's shadow to heal all he met, use us, Lord, to further your kingdom here in Chapel Heath and beyond. Lord, I boldly ask with an expectant heart that we will again see signs and wonders of your almighty power. Come, Holy Spirit. We love you. We welcome you. We want to come under the shadow of your wing. A place where we can feel loved, comforted, and healed. And I invite you now to cry out verbally or from your heart for God to heal you, to meet you in your place of need right now. Just come, Lord Jesus. May your shadow fall on us now. Lord, come and mend the brokenhearted. Give peace and comfort that passes all human understanding. And Lord, we even pray for the healing that we may think is impossible, because I know you are the God that changes the impossible into the possible. Just come now by the power of your Spirit. Lord, help us to be more than a shadow of our former selves. Give new hope and new confidence to meet with and receive more of your love and healing balm. Lord, reassure those amongst us who feel they are insignificant or have nothing to offer in ministry in this church. Remind them, Lord, that we are all parts of the body of Christ and that we have a part to play in building your kingdom here. And Lord, I often wonder why you use me. I feel so unworthy at times, but let us all remember that Peter was just an ordinary fisherman, often impetuous, less than perfect, and often afraid of his own shadow. Yet you used him in such a powerful way. Lord, take all of us as we are, warts and all, that mould us and make us into a shadow of Jesus and use us to your glory. Amen. Can I just say, time obviously is going on. If you want further prayer ministry, please do come for it during communion or at the end. We have the prayer ministry team that would love to pray with you and see signs and wonders today.